Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Okay, it is that time of the week.
Jen's Friends.
Just Friends.
Yes, it is time for Jen's Friends of a Friday. This is where one of my pals comes in. And today we have the diva, that is Darren Kennedy, in studio.
Oh, my God. How are you?
Been demanding water. Water?
It came in, like, I imagined it almost like butler-style service there.
Thank you, Graham Smith,
Thank
for that butler-style service.
I had a vision of Graham coming in a black and white tuxedo and a top hat. But it was more Butlins than butlers.
Darren, it's great to see you.
You too. Nice to be in.
It's lovely to have you in studio. I know you're on with Lottie when you were covering the red carpet. We'll get to that in a sec. But we need to talk about the big stories of the week and what's been happening. So certain stories on the show really get people going and get people texting in their droves. Random things, okay? The all-inclusive booze ban was one. So on Tuesday, we were talking about all-inclusive deals and listeners just overdoing it on holidays because I don't know if you've heard this, but now all-inclusive holidays are putting a limit on the drinks you can get in Mallorca and Ibiza and places like this because they're making shite of the place, the English people, let's be honest. Well, they're blaming it on the English people, it's Irish people as well. And they need to curb that. But we've all had those holidays where we go a bit too far, we're dancing in the fountain. I know you're a man, you're a citizen of the world, you're always jetting off here, there and everywhere. But I don't know if you even have one. Was there ever a holiday that you just went too bananas?
There's been several holidays where I've gone to bananas, but I'm not going to talk about them all. I was in Mexico because I don't really do all-inclusive, but I went to Mexico a couple of years ago to Tulum and it was all-inclusive. And we were like getting stuck in at the pool and whatever, but was always sober because I think they just water everything down.
Somebody made that point.
In Mexico, they absolutely do. But yeah, kind of the most debaucherous holiday that I remember is when I did my Leaving Cert with a couple of friends. So there was me and me and two friends. We were like the in-betweeners, like the real life in-betweeners.
I don't believe that.
No, we actually were. Like seriously, like so like outside of everything. Mm-hmm. And I remember there was all this talk about the Debs and it was costing like hundreds of euro. And I was chatting to the lads and I said, we just go on a trip. Like, I've never changed, right? I was like, we could spend all this money on the one night with people that we're not particularly fond of, or we could do like a crazy road trip. So we did.
Where'd you go?
We went to Paris. We stayed in Paris for like...
You went to Paris?
No, but that was part one. Hold on, that was the first stop.
I thought you were going to go to Magaluf.
No, we went to Paris and then we stayed a few days in Paris and then we got a train up to Amsterdam.
Okay.
And then we stayed in Amsterdam. And Amsterdam is where things started to get hairy.
Okay.
And I remember about 2 or 3 days in, we're on one of the rowboats in like a massive canal. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and we'd no idea back then that there are actually rules of the canal.
Oh.
Essentially, the bigger you move out of the way, the bigger boat. Like, it's quite basic. Okay. Anyway, we nearly had... I kind of thought I was going to be killed by a ferry on the canal in Amsterdam. So much so that I actually had to go home and ring my dad and ask him to get me a flight home.
Stop.
Yeah, I kind of thought, if I stay here another week, I'll be coming home in a box.
Coffee shops.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yes. Like, and I did. And I came home and dad was like... You're right. It took me about a month to recover, I'd say.
Yeah. Did you go to a sex show?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. They're so boring.
So, like, I've no interest in watching someone else, like...
No.
Do you know what I mean? They are boring.
They're like chewing chewing gum. They're just going through the motions. It's so...
And it felt filthy. The seats felt filthy.
It's all sticky. And then they tap you on the shoulder and they're like, get out, it's someone else's turn. Like, it's... Oh, God, it's so awful.
So I learned my lesson. I learned my lesson at a young age.
I love how you went on a mental holiday and you went to Paris first with the lads. And then home to Amsterdam.
I told you. The in-betweeners. We weren't cool enough to go to Magaluf.
No, you're definitely
We'd have been eaten alive, not in the good way.
That is true. Yeah, we were talking to Lottie yesterday and she was telling us about Dave Chappelle being attacked on stage. And I want to talk to you about it because you were on the show with her after the Oscars after party in LA when Will Smith planted one on Chris Rock. We all remember that. Looking back on the night, Darren, when you were there, was there a vibe? Was there a vibe after that moment happened? Like, what was it like afterwards?
There definitely was. Like, there was a bit of, it was a shadow had been cast over the whole event. And even though everyone tried to get on with us, it was still there. Do you know what I mean? The atmosphere was still tainted with it, shall we say.
Yeah.
And for me, it was kind of like, it's like being at a family event, you know, a big family event where all the extended family come together, people that you mightn't have seen for a year, and they're all in, say, a house or a hotel, and there's always one person you're going, I just hope he doesn't kick off or she doesn't kick off, and inevitably they do. That was like with Will Smith multiplied by a million.
Wow.
That's what it felt like. And everyone tried to put on a brave face and kind of pretend it didn't happen. Now listen, people did let their hair down, but it was just there. And actually, do you know what? I just found it so disgusting. It made me feel a bit sick. It's that, you know, visceral thing of, you know, someone who's so well respected and so loved getting up in that audience and like committing an act of violence like that was just like, it was really, yeah, just awful.
It's funny because the guy who attacked Dave Chappelle was absolutely battered, but Will Smith got away with it, really, didn't he?
There you go.
The power.
Yeah, and
of
no one
Will
talks
Smith.
About that. No one talks about that.
Yeah, an awful thing to witness and really shook everybody. I want to talk about random acts of kindness because we had a caller on Wednesday who had a horrendous experience with a random act of kindness. So he was in a coffee shop and he thought he would do a random act of kindness and he bought a coffee for the lady behind him. The lady went up and gave him an absolute bollocking, going, "How do I have a boyfriend?" And he was like, "First of all, love, I'm gay. Second of all, it was a random act of kindness. Like, I was just trying to do something nice for you." It didn't put him off. But, you know, have you ever given a seat to someone on a bus who...
Yeah, the whole time. Yeah. I kind of like, I think it's important in life that to have little moments of kindness peppered throughout your week, if not your day. And it's not something that you do so you can talk about it or you can brag about it or you can post about it on social media. I just think it's like, it's good human beings will do little things like that. I mean, it has backfired on me once or twice because actually one thing that I do, it's not always about buying someone a coffee or you know, giving your seat. Sometimes that is the case. But I like, if I think something good about someone, I like to say it.
Yeah, you're flirty.
No, it's not flirty.
It's not flirty.
Do you think it's flirty?
It's
I'm a
nice
terrible flirt.
Flirt.
We'll talk about that again. Yeah. If I don't fancy you, I'm a great flirt. If I do fancy you, I'm the worst flirt in the world.
You're quiet.
Yeah, like literally quiet, reticent, and will probably turn my back to you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like literally, because I'm terrified. And there's a story about that. I remember there was this guy in London. I'm now going off the track. He's a very famous model. Now, this is going back a few years, and I had the hots for him big time. And I remember I was at a party, and he was there, and he was kind of locking eyes with me and I was terrified. And then at one moment we walked into each other and he said, "Hello, how are you?" Like, because he's Spanish. "Hello, okay. How are you?" And I was like, "Ah, I'm good." And literally spoke for about 30 seconds, verbal diarrhea, and wanted the ground to open up and swallow me.
That's funny because you'd normally be so confident.
Yeah, I just lost with him. No, I've since redeemed myself with him, with that person. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I've gone off the subject. I do like to say it. And one day there was this woman and she was wearing a beautiful dress or something that was just really eye-catching. And I said, "Wow, you look beautiful." And she totally thought I was coming on to her and was kind of barking up the wrong tree. And eventually I had to say, no, like, you're grand, you're safe. I'm 100% homosexual. I just think you're wearing a nice frock. And that's kind of happened to me a couple of times.
Yeah, because you always pass comments. Not positive ones. You're very pass remarkable
pass
in
remarkable,
a good way.
In a good way. And if I don't, if it's not something positive, I'd rather not say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you rub me up the wrong way. But no.
Then you're dead.
Then you're...
Okay, this will bring us on to our next one nicely because we were talking about Irish turn-ons, right? There was a survey in the paper, what turns Irish women on, what turns Irish men on. There was like a top 10. Anita says Lynx Africa does it for her.
I used to be... That was like one of the fragrances of my teenage years. Anita, just as well we didn't know each other back then.
Oh yeah, she would have had...
And I used to douse myself in it. You know,
did
in
you?
The ad where I'd like spray, obviously, my body and then I would literally walk into a cloud of it all over my clothes.
Now you walk into a cloud of Tom Ford.
Preferably.
We got calls and texts on this and people... Well, see, I love... Are they the Snickers trousers?
Oh yeah, a workman.
I like them. And any kind of DIY done around the house is good for me.
Someone who's good with their hands.
Yeah,
what you're
definitely.
Saying, essentially.
Snickers on, knickers off. Anita just texts in because she's the weekend and she gets frisky on the weekend. But a lot of people, lads winning a football game, their team winning was one, which is
GAA shorts.
Really?
Yeah, there's something about them, isn't there? There's something about GAA shorts.
Did Paul Mescal do that for GAA shorts?
No, he didn't.
Oh.
No, GAA shorts were a thing before then.
Really?
I never owned the pair until Normal People, I have to be honest. But like lads in GAA shorts with a good thick leg.
Yeah.
It gets you going. But for me, it's kind of, it's more about someone who's like a bit ballsy and confident.
Okay.
And cheeky.
Okay.
You know, and I mean in the sense of like, you know, flirting.
I saw in New York Times they're bringing out, it's now creeping into the lingerie section, lingerie for men.
Not into it.
Okay.
No interest.
Okay.
Pass. Don't want to know about it. I think it's like, it's not for me, each to their own, but
yeah.
Like I like manliness.
Yeah. Well, you like men in GAA shorts.
I mean, yeah.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
doesn't?
What
who
else?
Doesn't? 51552. Who doesn't like a man in GAA shorts? It's a thing.
And do you know, it's the length of them as well, isn't it? They're the perfect length.
Oh, okay.
A GAA short is the perfect length. Because we talk in fashion the whole time about short shorts. The GAA short, a good fitting GAA short, is the perfect length, I think. It's just like...
Because it's not too short.
It hits the leg at the thickest part of the thigh.
Okay.
And so it just kind of emphasises the...
Yeah.
The muscle.
I'm disappointed Paul Mescal didn't wear the shorts to the Met Gala.
Do you know, he should have. Do you know, and actually my friend Zadrian Smith styled them.
Stop
yeah,
it. That's
yeah.
your pap.
Yeah. Zadrian. No, he did. He did. Zadrian, he's this. Anyway, he's blown up at the moment. I'm so delighted for him.
Oh,
he was my
amazing.
Assistant on the show years ago. And he's such a lovely guy.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
And an Irish person helped dress Kim Kardashian in her Marilyn Monroe dress. Did you see that? She wore walking
yeah.
up. Yeah. Did
yeah.
you think she should have? She had a right to wear that dress?
I mean, I've seen her look better, if I'm being honest.
Bitchy?
It's just a promo. Hmm?
Bitchy?
No, I didn't think the colour worked on her.
Yeah.
I didn't think the colour was great. And like the fact that she had to go to such lengths to try and fit into it, I kind of like, Kim, those days are gone. Come on.
Yeah, like, you don't need to do that.
We don't need that story. We don't need that pressure. We know that you're nipping and tucking and sucking everything in and now you're
pads.
Not even eating.
Yeah, yeah, she's wearing pads.
And
so
she's wearing pads.
Wee.
Yeah.
No, last year in the Met, she wore a pad because she couldn't take it off to go for a wee. Would you ever wear a pad for an outfit?
I'm a lad, I don't need a pad.
Hey! Okay, Darren, what's this deal with you? You're hosting a new online series, looks very, very good. What's it all about?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm hosting the Bord Gáis Energy new Imagine a Better Way series, which is all about kind of making your home, I guess, retrofitting it, or what we call it these days, home energy upgrades.
Okay.
So basically making your home more energy efficient, more sustainable. We've lots, it's a 5-part series and we've lots of experts in each episode talking about like how you can make your home more sustainable, but save money in the process. And I think this is the really interesting part. It's like even lowering the heating in your home by 1 degree can like... can save you hundreds over the course of the year. One of my guests is Home of the Year judge and architect Amanda Bone, and she's just a wealth of information with tips and tricks on how to make the most of your home and also gardens.
Yeah.
So we've got Peter Dowdle, who's like a garden expert, and he talks about how to make your garden more sustainable. I know you're big into your garden at the moment. Looks amazing.
Come here, I was devastated. Yeah, I got my garden done, but I'm growing carrots.
Right, why are you devastated?
Because... I put them out because they were little seedlings and they got into, and I put them outside because you put them out for 10 days, getting them used to the outdoor weather, and some fox or cat or something knocked it all over and it's months of work done. I'm going to Lidl to buy myself a bag of carrots to make me feel better because it's so much work and effort to grow veg, Darren.
Could you not salvage them?
I did. I tried, but I don't know if it's... I tried, but we'll see. I'll keep you updated
fine.
On the carrots.
Well, do you know what? This is something that Peter mentions in his episode, actually, is about making... Because I love plants and gardens
yeah.
and natures, and it's about... And nature, and it's about...
But you don't just love plants. You know the names of plants.
Yeah,
you know
I
the
do.
Way. You're that far gone.
Well, okay. Gone to the dark side.
You are.
But he made a really good point. Like, even if you don't have a big garden and maybe you have a small balcony or whatever,
yeah.
you can still, like, do good things for the environment with flowers and whatnot. But he made the point that you have to be careful that the flowers you're buying aren't so kind of hybridized just for the colour or look, because those ones oftentimes are of no good to the bees and insects.
Okay.
Yeah, so never knew that.
That's amazing.
Isn't it? Anyway, that's just a...
I'll buy a load of them because I have a fear of bees. Darren Kennedy, thank you so much for being my friend.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.